Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello once again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Health Matters. My name is Mike Royer, and you see doctors, physicians, dietitians on camera, and they keep me back in the shadows asking the questions. And you can listen to this entire interview at WVUA23.com and also the University Medical Center website as well. We have a podcast that we hope you enjoy, and we use segments or portions of these interviews in our Health Matters segments that air on WVUA 23 News. We're glad you've joined us once again. Sherry Simpson, a registered dietitian who is headquartered at the Student Health Center here at the University of Alabama. Sherry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We think about eating disorders mostly as eating too much, but there are all kinds of eating disorders. In your work with students here at the university, that age group, what are the top few ones that you know you're going to have to deal with from time to time?
The age group is very interesting at the Student Health Center. Everybody thinks about the typical college student that's 18 to 23.
Yeah.
I actually have students as young as 16. Mm. We forget about them. They come through early college.
Yeah.
And then I treat graduate and doctoral students, and those can, you know, have some that are in their, early to mid 40s. So, you know, big range there.
I would guess that if you don't deal with eating disorder issues, whatever those challenges are, at those ages, if you don't start dealing with them, they're going to be with you in adulthood and even older age. Is that accurate?
Correct. The majority of the patient population, the 18 to 23, is where we see those. When I first learned about eating disorders when I was in college, there was only two. So you were either on the restrictive side or you were overeating and then potentially compensating. We call that binging and purging.
Yeah.
And trying to rid yourself. And now there's all these different branches. Some of them actually have medical diagnoses, and some of them are not recognized just yet. And we also know that some of these disorders can kind of cross over.
I see.
They can go back and forth. But anorexia is the first one that you think about when you get this picture in your mind about eating disorders. We think about anorexia, and those patients tend to restrict. So they may limit themselves to a certain number of foods or certain number of calories, but they try to restrict with the goal of, some of them it's to lose weight.
Yeah.
And then bulimia nervosa is the other disorder that is probably the second most common. And that's where, you know, patients will consume large amounts of food.
Right.
And then they will, purge, which is... Purge is a little different than just vomiting. Purge is an intentional removal.
Yes.
Of that food.
Yes.
Whether it's through vomiting or they'll actually take various medications like laxatives and those type of things to remove it from the body.
I think I understand, but the difference between anorexia and bulimia is anorexia just restricts what they eat and they simply don't eat enough.
Correct.
And bulimia, they purge and do that sort of thing.
Correct.
Which is unhealthy in a variety of ways. I think a dietitian and any physician would tell us that. What kind of problems does that cause for a person? We're just not built to do that.
No. One of the things that we stress is I spend a lot of time explaining how the human body works.
Hmm.
A lot of the students don't really understand that. But what happens is when you're limiting yourself, you're missing vital nutrients. So they sometimes I get patients that are referred to me from other providers because they've identified vitamin or mineral deficiencies. But the body will actually break itself down for energy. So it starts by breaking muscle tissue down, and then eventually it will look into the fatty tissue. But the most dangerous part of that is that it can actually break down your cardiac muscle and can weaken the heart muscle itself.
People my age and generally my generation remember the images of Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
I think one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard solo sing, and she succumbed to this and died from it.
Yes.
It can be fatal if not
correct.
Corrected.
And that's why, we try to be very aggressive with those type of conditions, yes.
I hear young ladies, students in the newsroom talk about, is it the freshman 12, 13? How many pounds do they joke about?
It's freshman 15, yeah. 20, 30.
That's pretty common and not a major concern if you just are going out for pizza every night and enjoying that first semester, right. It may or may not be a real thing. That's not an eating disorder. That's just overdoing it a bit, right?
No. Yes. The majority of the students that I see, especially incoming students, whether they're freshmen or they're transfer, you know, sophomores, is they tend to get out of a routine. Yeah. You know, they're used to going to school at a certain time and being done and going on to after school activities and having activities, you know, built in. And then they come here and their schedule is very scattered. And usually food is an afterthought. I'm too busy, or I got up late, or you know, they try to grab something quick, and sometimes it's not always a healthy choice.
And they're used to coming from a home, hopefully, where they're eating pretty good meals a couple of times a day, and here it's up to them what they take
Correct.
In. Is it mostly young women who deal with the serious disorders that you talk about, or does it males come to you as well?
It can be both. Yeah. It's primarily, we see it more so in the female population, but men can have eating disorders as well.
Can you help young women who are so concerned about their body image and their size and their weight? Is there a way to help them not only educate them about the food they eat, but educate them that not everybody looks like the model in a magazine? Everybody's got a little different shape. Do you deal with that part of the issue as well?
Yes, so we do have different exercises that we do to try to help them have a better relationship with food and also with their body. But a dietitian is just one part of the big puzzle. So with eating disorders, we have to also make sure that they're connected with other professionals. So I can only fix the nutrition part.
Yes.
I can't fix the other things. So I try to make sure that they're connected to a primary care provider, whether that's a doctor, a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, and also a mental health provider as well.
Because a serious problem that can't seem to be stopped on their own might require counseling, psychiatry, help from a professional too.
Yes, absolutely.
Is the problem consistently bad, or through education are we doing a better job, or as each generation comes along, we have to re-educate this group now? Is it different than when you first got into being a dietitian?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was almost very secretive, and people just didn't talk about it back then. Yeah. I can remember classmates of mine struggling with that, and friends growing up. People were very secretive about it, and I think now it's more understood and it's more recognized, and a lot of people are supportive. They're not shamed, I guess, if they identify that they have that. So sometimes it's a patient coming to me first, and sometimes it's their roommates bringing them, or their friends or their family are helping kind of make the connection because they've picked up on certain things that they're doing. Maybe they're observing them eat very small amounts, or excessive exercising, or you know, they're finding evidence of laxatives, or you know, those types of things.
A generally healthy young person, male or female, eating generally a pretty good diet for a college student shouldn't need laxatives, shouldn't need to purge ever. They should just eat good and be careful with their diet and all of that. But that's easy to say, but hard to convince someone. Do you consider, and I think I'll end with this, do you consider bulimia and anorexia a psychological issue or a physical illness type issue?
So a lot of what I spend time doing is not only helping the patient understand that it's not their fault. It is a mental health condition that needs, you know, multifaceted treatment. But it's what it comes down to is eating disorders, although they manifest in food, they're about control. And so when everything else is out of control in that person's life, the eating disorder, we kind of call that it's the calm to their chaos. So it makes them feel like things are in order when they can control what they do to their own body. And so that's kind of where it starts.
So if a student comes to you with an issue and you identify what it is and you do all you can as a dietitian, and if needed, refer them to a physician, whether that be a family practice physician or a psychiatrist, the success rate ought to be pretty good if they are asking for help.
Yes.
That's the good news.
Yes. Well, and two, you just have to determine that they're at the right level of care. So,
yeah.
You know, what we do is what we call outpatient. So they make an appointment, they come in, we do treatment, and we determine how often they need to come in. You know, when patients don't respond or if they're not improving, then we have conversations with the patient and then also family members about when it's time to move up to a higher level of care.
Dietitian Sherry Simpson does this kind of conversation with students who need her and need help, and she's at the University Medical Center and the Student Health Center. I'm glad you're there, and I know our students and everyone else are thankful for the work that you do. Thanks for joining us on Health Matters today. I've enjoyed visiting with you.
Thank you.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.